My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, the fan who's just thinking about or planning or replanning that first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you're wondering what happened to the other 75% of the French Quarter. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll chat to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories and their magical times. And this week, we chat to Peter and Jill.
As someone who is more Baymax than Baywatch, need to cut back on the Disney snacks for a while.
More of their memories very soon. Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions and getting you all the latest news from the parks. Make sure you keep in touch with us. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on Earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network, and this is our second birthday episode. I can't believe we've been doing this podcast now for 2 years, sitting here talking about Walt Disney World, and for more than half of the time we've been doing the podcast, we've not actually been allowed or able to go to Walt Disney World. But we'll still keep talking about it because soon we'll be back. We'll be back. If you have got a trip planned soon, don't forget, if you've got any questions, send them over. Hi to Florence, who's booked a trip next year, staying for the first time at Caribbean Beach with the family, and would love any tips when it comes to eating or restaurants or getting around or transportation. What do you suggest? Anything you can throw our way, Andy? Well, yes. Caribbean Beach is actually the first time I stayed on site at Disney, was the first place I stayed Caribbean Beach. Since I've been then, of course, we've now got the Skyliner. So you've got the cable cars that go from Caribbean Beach to Epcot and to Hollywood Studios. So you've got those two theme parks that are going to be kind of closer, really, to you. And in terms of food, you've got Sebastian's Bistro that a lot of people go about. That's apparently the food is very good there, although I've not been myself. And of course, part of that area of Caribbean Beach is where they built the new DVC Riviera Resort. So that's like Disney's newest resort. The newest hotel at Walt Disney World is right on your doorstep at Caribbean Beach. In fact, you can use their Skyliner station if you want. So really, you've got those two Skyliner stations. And you've got places to eat there as well. Topolino's Terrace, right at the top of the Riviera Resort, is where you've got beautiful views of all the parks. Dinner is very nice, apparently. And breakfast, you've got the character breakfast with Mickey and Donald and Daisy and Minnie all dressed up in their kind of like artistic best. So you've seen Daisy being a ballet dancer and Donald being a scrum. So that's where you can get your breakfast with the characters there at Topolino's Terrace at Riviera. So yeah, you are staying at Caribbean Beach, but kind of like you've got Riviera there on your doorstep. It's a great resort. It's a big resort. So when you get in the buses to Magic Kingdom and to Animal Kingdom, you might have a bit of a wait and it might go all the way around, but great resort. Enjoy your time at Caribbean Beach. Any questions? Do let me know. Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at PodMagical. And that's the same place to go if you'd like to come on the podcast, one episode, and chat about Walt Disney World. Now, a few weeks ago, we spoke to Ben, who is a member of the Great British Mickey Waffle podcast. Well, on this episode today, we've got a couple of more people who joined the Great British Mickey Waffle podcast, which is not very easy to say. Jill and Peter are on for a chat on this episode. Hello, Jill and Peter. Tell me, first of all, why do you love Walt Disney World?
I think for me, it's the variety of things there are to do and the fact that it's not just for children. Everyone can find something that they love.
And what about you, Peter?
I like the theming. I like the way the place is put together. I like the way that they allow the people to flow very easily. And I just like the way that the areas are divided and the areas work. It's just the whole theming in general.
So what is your Walt Disney World story? When was the first time you went? Did you go together as a couple first time or had you been individually before?
No, we went for the first time in 2010. We'd already been to Disneyland Paris a few times by then. But we booked a trip for December 2010. And that was quite momentous because we left in the middle of a freezing cold winter where Gatwick had been closed for a week due to snow, only to find that Orlando was likewise freezing and that we lived in our winter coats most days.
You don't really get that very often, do you, in Florida?
No. So much so that I didn't take a winter coat, so I had to buy one out there.
But you will have learned now anyway, Peter, that you always go to Walt Disney World with an empty suitcase anyway to buy spirit jerseys and whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, it was so cold that some of the roller coasters just weren't working.
It was that bad?
It was minus two at one point. Yeah.
So you're like, this Florida sunshine they're telling us about, it's all lies.
Yes.
But on the other hand, the parks were really, really quiet. So we managed to do so much. It was great.
I suppose being British as well, we're like, yeah, it's cold. But, you know, we've been to Alton Towers. We've been to Disneyland Paris in December. And that's, you know, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing at all. Yeah.
What else do you remember about that first time?
We've been on various socials for a while, including the Dib. And so we had a kind of an idea. And we'd watched lots of videos. I wasn't blown out of the water. I got more than I expected,
yeah.
But I expected something of high quality, and I got that high quality.
Because a lot of people say, you know, when it comes to comparing Disneyland Paris and Orlando, it's just like that you can't compare them at all.
I think it's the wrong question. It's a bit like saying which is nicer, custard or gravy.
Yeah.
they're two different things, and they have two very different markets and different experiences.
People don't say the same thing when they're comparing Tokyo or Hong Kong or Shanghai.
Yeah.
But they do when they say Paris. We used to be shareholders in Paris.
Yeah.
We used to be shareholders in Disneyland Paris before Disney bought us all out. So Paris is a really beautiful park. Disneyland Park is nicer looking than Magic Kingdom. There's much more grass, much more flowers. It's just nicer looking, isn't it?
Paris has the nicer castle.
It's got the most beautiful castle, although, yeah, of course, at the moment it is under wraps, having lots of construction done.
Although the nicest castle at the moment is supposed to be Shanghai.
We'll get to see that one day.
Yes,
maybe.
We will.
Yeah,
yes.
One day.
How many times have you been back to Walt Disney World since 2010?
We've been twice. Yeah. I think my standout memory has to be my birthday, which was on our first trip. We went to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And we actually went on my birthday. So I was wearing my birthday button. We watched the parade. And at the end, of course, Santa comes along in his big sleigh. And he's shouting Merry Christmas and ho, ho, ho. And suddenly he spots my button. And he points straight at me and says, Happy birthday to you.
I can't beat that one.
No.
We had a meal for our anniversary in Victoria and Albert's. And that was a beautiful, beautiful meal. That was... Mm. Fantastic. I'm a chef by trade.
Right.
And, the food was fantastic. It was really worth the money.
We had somebody on the podcast about a month ago who went to Victoria and Albert's. I've never been myself, but she's saying, like, you know, it is worth it, but only for a special occasion, would you say, Peter?
You couldn't eat there every day. It's it's $200.
It's more than that now, I think.
More than that now, yeah. So, and by the time you add on wine and stuff like that, and tax...
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it for a special occasion.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go for just a meal.
As we're talking about food and you're a chef by trade, let's talk about the best restaurants in Walt Disney World. Where are they? Where should we be eating?
My favourite last time was Gico. I think it's a combination of the surroundings, which are absolutely beautiful. There's all sorts of African-inspired artwork. The walls change colour as you eat to mimic the colours that change during an African day. And there's all sorts of beautiful artwork, and the theming in the restaurant is just beautiful. The food is just different enough. You do have African-inspired spices and dishes, but it's not so out there that, you know, UK visitors would just go, no, this is completely out of my experience. So, yeah, they bring you along. And, of course, as with all the signatures, the service is amazing. The whole experience is great.
I'm going to go for the Wave because it's a little gem that is still that many people don't know about. It's got some more famous restaurants in the same building, but the Wave does good food, good American food, lots of local produce. I haven't done breakfast, but I believe it has an excellent breakfast.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
We did lunch. It was really, really good. It was a simple menu, not the same as the evening menu, but the quality of the food was good, and it was cooked to our liking, and it was really, really fun.
Also, apparently, not that expensive.
No, no. It's a one-credit restaurant on the dining plan, whenever that comes back.
Yeah, hopefully it will.
Yes.
So, yeah, pop that on
this. And it works really well. It's really nice. The service was fantastic as well.
As you always get with Disney.
Yeah.
What about snacks? Are you snackers when you go to the parks?
We didn't have that many snacks. I do like a Dole Whip, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's more what I don't like. I don't like funnel cake.
What's it about funnel cake you don't like, Peter? Because I do like... I've got to be in the mood for funnel cake.
It's greasy. It's horrible. It's... I think I'd rather have donuts than funnel cake. It's a similar idea. So definitely not... funnel cake.
Not funnel cake, but still funnel cake is a better snack than a turkey leg.
Oh,
yes, I agree. I agree, yes. 100%.
I know there's those famous rumours, isn't there, that it's actually ostrich legs and not turkey legs, but that they are only rumours. That's not true at all. Not true. They're not serving ostrich legs. Jill and Peter are with us on this episode of the podcast. I want to chat some more about accommodation. I want to find out if you stay at Disney or you venture out, and let's find out some of your attractions as well. Let's get the news update first up, though. And more details were announced for the 50th anniversary, which will be on the 1st of October. And on the 1st of October, we've got two brand new fireworks shows. So fireworks are coming back, by the way. So from the 1st of July, fireworks return to Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And then from the 1st of October, a brand new nighttime fireworks show at Magic Kingdom on the day of the 50th it starts. And it's going to run throughout the 50th. The show itself is called Disney Enchantment. Meanwhile, over at Epcot, the long-awaited Harmonious will start on the 1st of October over at Epcot. Also, Animal Kingdom is getting a brand new show as well. They're getting a daytime show. So in the lagoon where we used to sit and watch the Rivers of Light at night, there'll be a new daytime entertainment show called Disney Kite Tales with your favourite animal characters over at the Discovery River Amphitheatre. Also, the characters over at Magic Kingdom are getting some new costumes, which you'll be able to see in the cavalcades throughout the day. It was mentioned in this press release. So I'm guessing that means no parade for the time being. But we will get to see cavalcades. There's also some new brand new gold statues of the characters as well over at Magic Kingdom in the hub. So that all starts from the 1st of October. As I say, though, meanwhile, 1st of July, that's when the fireworks are going to go back. And mask requirements have also been got rid of over at the parks. In fact, the only place you need to wear a mask now if you're going to Walt Disney World is on public transport. So the buses and the monorail, even on the boats, because they're open now, you don't need them on the boat. So life is getting back to normal and stuff to look forward to. And finally, you might have seen the video from earlier on this week from Epcot, where a guest decided during the Living with the Land attraction to get off the boat and try and get a cucumber from inside the greenhouse. It wasn't funny, and we hope she's getting a lifetime ban from all the parks, because she should. And if you haven't seen that video, by the way, and you want to have a look at it, if you scroll down our Twitter, we put that up on Monday morning. So at PodMagical is where we are, which is where we'll keep you up to date with all the news from the parks. You can drop me a message there as well if you fancy being a podcast guest. New podcasts every other week. Jill and Peter we're chatting to today. Let's talk about accommodation. So do you stay off-site or do you always stay in the Disney bubble?
We stay on property.
Yeah. Favourite resorts?
We've stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, and we've stayed at Springs.
Saratoga Springs.
Yeah. And when we go in January, we're staying at...
Coronado Springs.
Have you got a particular favourite out of all those?
Different reasons. I mean, Port Orleans just completely captured us. It was so beautiful to walk around. But then with Saratoga Springs, the fact that it was a 10-minute walk to, as it was then, downtown Disney, as it is now Disney Springs, I mean, that was just amazing. We spent a heck of a lot of time and indeed a heck of a lot of money at that place.
We didn't see Springs at its best because they were having some work done, so there was bollards everywhere and things like that. So we didn't see it at its best. Mm. But of the two, I prefer Port Orleans.
Mm. Yeah. And again, Disney Springs not too far from Port Orleans because you've just got the little boat that takes you straight over, haven't you?
You have, yeah.
Yes.
And I always feel like I should be spending more time at Disney Springs. There's some amazing places to eat, but I'll give it like half a day, Disney Springs, because you just want to be in the theme park. But I need to, next time I go, hopefully soon, More time at Disney Springs.
Yes.
Yes, it's definitely worth it for the food. Mm. You can get some really good food for not too expensive for Disney prices.
So when it comes to planning, who's the planner amongst you?
We both plan. We are very much a couple, and we tend to plan things together.
Yeah. Definitely not one of these people, these couples, where one person does all the planning and the other person just says, tell me where to go.
Yeah,
no, that is not going to happen. No. We have long and involved conversations over where we want to eat and which park we want to go to and all sorts of stuff. But I think for us, the important thing is that the plan is important, but it's not set in stone.
Yeah.
You can change it on the day. The secret is knowing which bits you can and can't change. I am still kicking myself for missing a ride reservation that we tried ages to get. The thing is knowing which ones that you can change and which ones that you really need to keep.
That can happen, isn't it? If you tie down to dinner reservations and you think, oh, well, we've got dinner at 4 and then I've got a ride at 6, but you've got a counter for the fact that it's going to take you quite a long time to get from A to B sometimes.
Yes.
What was the ride that you missed, by the way, Jill?
I think it was Soarin'. Yes, I think it was Soarin', which at the time was really hot ticket.
Still
this
is.
This was the old version of Soarin', not the one with the Eiffel Tower that's not straight.
The wonky Eiffel Tower.
We tend to spend the time huddled around the computer, looking at things, chatting things out, asking each other, do we want to do this? What about this place? What about that place? And eventually we come to an agreement between us.
Plus, we've got a lot of information from our podcast team who we can talk to for all sorts of ideas and reviews and so on. So that's an extra resource to draw on.
Because, of course, you are part of the great British Mickey Waffle. And we had Ben on a couple of podcasts ago. He was a podcast guest. You like to waffle on?
We do.
Absolutely, yes. Also, we have our own YouTube channel called Hothersalls, which is our surname with an S.
Right.
Which is mainly Disney. Some other things, but mainly Disney. Mm. But yes, we are wafflers. We just celebrated 2 years.
I do believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so and that was a fun episode to make.
We have weekly Wafflers Wednesday, where we discuss all sorts of things. Most recently, we talked about supermarkets, actually. And you would not believe the number of people who found things to say about Walmart and Publix and the like. We also have once a month a live show where all sorts of crazy things happen and lots of people interact with us from here and from America as well. And we also have a monthly pre-recorded podcast as well. So there's plenty to keep us busy.
And also we have what you did, which is Share a Waffle, where we talk to interesting people from the Disney community.
Yeah, I was a guest on that earlier on this year. It was fun. It's quite nice to find you can make friends, can't you, through Walt Disney World?
Absolutely, yes.
Just through the shared love of Disney.
And we we've got some friends we've made from across the Atlantic as well as over here.
Yeah.
Because of Disney.
And hopefully we'll get to see them very soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully. When is your next trip planned?
Disney World trip or next Disney trip?
Tell me all of it. I want to know everything, Peter.
We are doing one of the staycation cruises.
Oh, Magic at
from
Sea.
From Southampton. Yeah. This will be our second cruise. We've done the magic around the Med.
Right, yeah.
So, but we thought we'd take up this opportunity. And it looks fun. We've got what they call a navigator's balcony.
Navigator's veranda, yeah.
Enclosed veranda with a hole in the enclosure so that you're kind of protected from the worst of the Atlantic weather, I think.
This is what I was, because I've not booked one, but this is what people were saying then. Don't get a veranda because it's going to be so windy, but the navigator's verandas, you've got the outside space of your own cabin, but you've got that protection from the elements.
Yes.
And there's some interesting decoration around the veranda as well.
Yeah, it looks nice.
What else are we doing, Jill?
Well, we hopefully are going to Disneyland Paris in November. Yep. We are hoping to stay at the new Art of Marvel Hotel, which looks very exciting.
Yeah.
Just trying to book at the moment. Then in January, we are going to Orlando for our third visit.
And is that a cancelled trip that you've had to keep moving?
This was a backup trip because last November we should have been in Japan. This was our silver wedding trip. It got cancelled and postponed to this November, and we've now decided that this November isn't really viable, and so we've put it off till next November. But in the meantime, we'd booked a sneaky little Orlando trip, a very short one, very budget one, as a backup. And of course, that has now grown and grown and grown to the point where it's not a budget trip any longer.
I'm not quite sure whether for the next few years you can do a budget trip to Orlando.
No.
Because even if you get a good deal, by the time you get there, you're going to go, well, I think we should do... some special tours, and we should do all our favourite restaurants, and suddenly a budget trip becomes quite an expensive trip.
There's so much that you can do.
Yeah.
We postponed our Japan trip to next November, but of course, that's another Disney trip because we got lots of nights at Tokyo Disney Resort, which is our first non-American, non-European resort.
Yeah, I've not done the Eastern parks yet.
It looks interesting.
Back to Walt Disney World, have you got a favourite attraction?
I have, and it's controversial. It's a Small World. It's my favourite ride in any Disney park. So far, I've only ridden two versions. I love them both. It's just, yes, it's cheesy. Yes, that song gets in your head and stays there for days. But there is so much detail to see. Every time you go, there is something different that you hadn't spotted before. I mean, for example, in the Disneyland Paris one, there are some Welsh characters sitting on the moon. Obviously, we do in Wales all the time.
All the time.
I think it's just cheesy and it's fun and there's lots to spot.
Also, Jill is known as the Queen of Team Wimp.
Don't do the big rides.
I do not do anything more thrilling than probably Pirates of the Caribbean.
And
even
Soarin'.
With that, I have to brace myself for the drop. So,
what about Soarin'? Because Soarin's a high ride.
Yeah, Soarin', I was all right the first time. Second time, I had a funny 5 minutes and decided I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And they actually let me off just before. But I was kicking myself because I can do it. I've done it before. So hopefully I'll do it next time.
So you won't have done Flight of Passage yet then?
Not yet, no.
Tempted to next time you go?
Possibly. I think I may have to slim down a bit before that because as someone who is more Baymax than Baywatch, I think need to cut back on the Disney snacks for a while.
What about you, Peter? What are your favourite attractions?
Kilimanjaro Safaris, particularly early in the morning when all the animals are bright. And I prefer it now they've taken away Little Red. I
think it's
the
race thing
to just make it a safari with the information than have this storyline. But yeah, that's my favourite. It was either that or Everest, and I really couldn't make up my mind.
Mm. Yeah, Kilimanjaro Safari. I don't think it's even been mentioned before as a favourite attraction, but it is. It's the longest attraction at Walt Disney World, isn't it? Because it's a good half an hour, 40 minutes, depending on how
it's
the giraffes
how
walk.
I am surprised that nobody's mentioned it before.
Yeah.
We've seen some baby giraffes. We've seen some baby elephants. The elephants tend to stand facing the other way from you, so it's not the best of views.
no, not at all. Have you ever thought about maybe when you go next time, if you're still celebrating your silver wedding anniversary, which you will be, obviously, doing maybe like the dinner on the savannah that you can do over at Animal Kingdom Park? That could be something quite nice.
But no, yes, I completely forgot about the sunset meal. That might be something to do, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I think if you're celebrating on this budget trip that you're going on.
Yeah.
I can spend your money for you. Do you like to venture outside Disney when you go? If you're staying on site, do you go over to Universal or SeaWorld or anywhere else?
We've done SeaWorld.
Yeah.
We did it first time and we did it last time with our eyes open. And it was fine. There's the stuff that they need to do, but they are changing things quite a lot.
Yeah.
And we've done Universal and we'll be doing again.
And we stayed on site at Universal.
Being Queen of Team Wimp, there's a lot at Universal that I do not do.
No.
But we found last time that having a couple of nights at Portofino Bay just made the whole experience much more relaxing and chilled. And so there was enough for me to enjoy as well.
That looks like a beautiful hotel, that one at Universal.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Next time we go, we're hoping to do Sapphire Falls, which is a moderate, but looks really lovely.
We've also had a visit to the Holy Land experience on our first trip.
Right.
We probably didn't see it at its best because it was freezing cold. All I will say is it's possibly worth a look if it's something you're interested in.
It's a very well laid out park. It's not to everybody's taste, but but yes, there have been a few changes apparently since we went, and one of them is that now the children's area is a mini golf course.
Oh, well, it's just straight out of the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have some really nice historical items, and the buildings are very well themed, but we won't be going back.
No.
I always thought it was an indoor attraction, the Holy Land Experience. Is it outdoors?
Mixture. There's a history of the Bible thing that you go from room to room to room. When the lights go on, you move to the next room and there's a narration and
animatronics
and things like that. And there's some antiques that the place has bought. There's a concert venue. There's outdoor theatre.
It's different.
It's interesting and it's different.
Binnett, you've done it once and you can say you've done it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? Just before you go, let's take a walk through your perfect Disney day.
Well, for me, it would be breakfast at the Wave to start with. Then I could walk straight to Magic Kingdom on the walkway. Spend the morning in Magic Kingdom, do all my favourite stuff there, and then jump on a bus and go to Epcot.
Or jump on the monorail.
I was going to say monorail.
It's working, and go to Epcot.
Yeah.
Do a couple of things while Jill sits down and does notes, because there's lots of stuff she won't do in Epcot.
Right.
And then wander the evening, wandering around World Showcase, and pick somewhere to go to eat, probably Tepanedo.
Very nice.
I like Tepanedo. Although, we're thinking about doing Monsieur Paul this time as a special.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how they interpret that.
Yeah, yeah. Monsieur Paul, this is on the budget holiday.
Yeah, sure.
I need to take out another mortgage. This budget is going a long way.
I don't know what yours would be. What would be your day?
I would likewise start with breakfast at the Wave and then move on to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I would assume you'd be together for the perfect day.
Yes, we would definitely be together. Yeah. I think I would then move over to Epcot for sure. I think I would stop off somewhere for a nice light lunch, maybe somewhere in Epcot. We've heard a lot of good things about Katsura Grill. Yet to try it, so maybe have lunch there. And then I think since we'd had Japanese for lunch, it would be Monsieur Paul for the evening.
Although I am tempted by the new Japanese restaurant.
Oh, yeah, Takumite.
It's very expensive, though. And
absolutely.
Isn't it about a five-hour experience?
That is a big splurge, yeah.
It is. It's based on a traditional Japanese set meal.
Kaiseki
meal, yes, that's right.
Apologies to all your many Japanese listeners who have probably totally mispronounced it.
Not quite sure how many we've got, Jill.
So if you stay in a traditional Japanese inn, you have the tatami floors and the wooden doors and things, and they serve you this meal in your room, and they bring everything in and they put it out for you, and then they take everything away and bring the next course.
Yeah.
So it's kind of based on that, obviously, sitting at tables. So I'd be interested.
There is so much you can do. If you just wanted to go for 2 weeks of amazing food and not do any rides, because people say to me, they go, I don't want to go to Disney World, I'm not into rides.
Yeah.
When you've got food like that, you don't need to.
Absolutely. There is so much to do that's not rides. But even if you do rides, I mean, it's not all coasters. This is what people don't get. I think a lot of Brits who haven't been think that it's like a British theme park and it's primarily about coasters. And it really isn't. There's just so much more.
There's so much good food in the hotels. More and more good food down at Disney Springs. And even if you just wander off to iDrive for a little bit, there's some good food there as well. So you could very well do a food trip without the theme parks, yes.
Yeah, and great food on the cruise lines as well.
Incredible food
on the cruise lines.
Yeah, so on the cruise line, we've done the upgrade. We did Paolo last time, and we're going to do it again. We're going to do Paolo lunch this time.
I really want to do Paolo brunch.
Yeah.
If you booked onto the Disney cruises this summer and you can get the Paolo brunch, apparently that's the thing to do.
Yes. We also did the evening on our med trip as well. We had one in the evening, and that was beautiful.
Mm.
But they do feed you very well. It was a lot of food.
a bit too well, I think, on the
cruise. Yes.
If we do it again, we ask for half portions of things.
But you can ask for anything on the menu. They give you the menu and go, yes, I'll have all that thing, thanks.
Yes, absolutely.
They'll bring it. Well, have a great time on that cruise. That's going to be your next Disney trip, isn't it? And then Paris.
Yep.
Fingers crossed for next year, back to Orlando, celebrating your silver wedding anniversary. Will it be like 26, 27 years by the time you get there?
It'll be 26.
But 2020 doesn't count.
No.
2020 didn't really happen, did it? So
it didn't really. Well, nothing
no,
happened.
So that doesn't count.
Put it on that badge, celebrating our silver wedding anniversary.
Yeah, we will.
And we'll celebrate together. Lovely chatting to you. And of course, we can catch you on the Great British Mickey Waffle Podcasts.
That's right.
And on YouTube as well. And until then, have a magical day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're always looking for podcast guests. If you'd like to come on one episode and just chat about your love of Walt Disney World, your favourite rides, attractions, resorts, any funny stories you've got, do get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Pod Magical is where we are. And if you've got any top tips, do let me know. If you don't fancy coming on the podcast for a chat, but you've got some top tips, let me know. That's what Gina has done, and she has got this episode's top tip. So the top tip from this episode from Gina is all about eating time. She says, Andy, we always find skipping breakfast and having a late breakfast or brunch and then getting an early dinner is always the best plan. We have breakfast or a late breakfast around 11 o'clock because that's when the parks get busy. And then at 4 o'clock, if you fancy a fancy dinner, then it's much easier to get reservations at places like Cinderella's Royal Table. So there you go. Great tip from Gina. If you can hold out and have breakfast, or maybe you could take like some cereal bars, have a cereal bar when you first wake up, then hold off for a bigger breakfast till like 11. So you're getting in the parks nice and early. Those first few hours when there's nobody in, do the rides. Then have your late breakfast when it starts to get busy. And then if you fancy a dinner, when you can't get reservations, 4 o'clock is when you can get in. Brilliant tip. Have you got any top tips? Let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Let me know if you'd like to be a podcast guest. Don't forget, brand new guests, brand new podcasts, brand new questions, brand new top tips. Every other Friday is when we have a new podcast. The best thing to do is subscribe and then you don't miss anything. So hit that subscribe button. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.